few weeks. You will have heard Andy Williams telling you in song, "It's the most wonderful time of the year." It's a lovely song, and I apologize if it gets stuck in your head this morning, but it paints a rosy picture of mistletoeing and hearts aglowing, of parties for hosting and marshmallows for toasting, of caroling out in the snow. And for many of us, children especially, this is a wonderful time of the year, with its promises of a break from school or work, of family and friends getting together, and most importantly, presents. It gives us an acute sense of anticipation that's actually often better than the day itself. And I think it's this sense of anticipation that has now got us to the modern practice of starting Christmas the moment that last forkful of Thanksgiving pumpkin pie has gone down. Now, you might like this approach to Christmas, or you might think it's a bad thing. If you like the building excitement, activities, anticipation of the season, you probably love it. If, on the other hand, you see December as just one set of looming deadlines after the other, increasingly frenetic activity, to-do lists, you probably hate it. But let's turn our attention to the other side of the season and look at something that all of us as Christians should love. Advent, like our modern December, is a time of anticipation and expectation ahead of the celebration of the Nativity of our Lord on Christmas Day. The problem is that sometimes we can become so busy with our Christmas preparations in our worldly lives that we end up relegating Advent to a kind of liturgical countdown to Christmas. And we lose the sight of the importance of Advent itself. A pastor, W.C. Turner, puts it well. Good news needs to be proclaimed during Advent. It is more than some hindrance or slowdown before the real season begins. Advent should be more than about preparing for Christmas. It should be about preparing ourselves, renewing ourselves, getting back in touch with why we are here, what we believe, and how we should act. Another pastor, Patricia DeLon, writes, "The coming of Advent jolts the church out of ordinary time with the invasive news that it's time to think about fresh possibilities for deliverance and human wholeness." Fresh possibilities. That sounds exciting. What are those fresh possibilities? Well, the answer, of course, is right in front of our noses. Mark starts his gospel with essentially a headline: the beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It's not even a full sentence. There's no verb. It's a headline. A modern writer would probably follow it up with, "Read all about it." And of course we do. But the trap that we can fall into is that this breaking story of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, can become all too familiar to us, and we can take it for granted. Instead of fresh possibilities, we start to regard it as something that we know very well and is somehow yesterday's news. So that's something we've got to keep in mind all year round, but in Advent, and especially in this second Sunday of Advent, we should be called to hear this news with a fresh read, throw out our complacency, come back to our relationship with God through Christ with open eyes, open ears, and open hearts. And we can do this very simply by contemplating four short words and discerning what these words mean in our lives and in our hearts and in our mind and in our lives. And the four short words to live by this week and this Advent are right in front of you. They're over here. See, the Lord comes. See, the Lord comes. We all believe this, but how does he come? When? In what circumstances? And importantly, what should we be doing about it? Well, there are two themes in today's readings. The first is preparation, and the second is waiting. Now, preparation here means more than just preparing for the Nativity. Yes, preparing for the Nativity is important, but we should also be preparing for something much more personal. We should be preparing for the Lord coming into our lives and transforming us. Now, we should be doing this all year around, of course, but in Advent should act as a wake-up call. A wake-up call to shake us out of our complacency. Patricia Delon continues, at Advent, God's people summon the courage and spiritual strength to remember that the holy breaks into the daily. In tiny ways, we can open broken hearts to the healing grace of God, who opens the way to peace. So, preparation. And our second theme is waiting. Now, we're not very good at waiting. Waiting is something that our society does not value. We want results now. We can get it delivered and installed this afternoon. We're guaranteed results in just 30 days. Even that old advertising slogan, shirts pressed or whatever, while you wait, really means there isn't a lot of waiting involved. We're impatient. And perhaps this impatience is one of the biggest problems we have in our relationship with God. But we need to be patient. Great things will come. Isaiah proclaims, every valley will be lifted up, and every mountain and hill laid low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. Then the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all people shall see it together. We're just not guaranteed next day delivery. Peter, in his second lesson, gives us some great advice. First, we should have faith. Sometimes we may not see God because with the Lord, one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. But we should stay true because the Lord is not slow about his promise, as some think of slowness, but is patient with you, not wanting any to perish, but all come to repentance. God is patient with us, and we should be patient with God. Preparation and waiting. These are the two key themes for today and for the rest of Advent. How should we prepare and how should we go about waiting so that eventually we will be, as Peter said, found by him at peace, without spot or blemish? How do we do that? Well, here at St. Francis, we've been working together on a program to answer this question and to search for ways in which we can prepare and be better in our lives, more patient, both together as a community here and in our greater lives in the outside world. So far, we've explored what it means to be Christ-like and Christ-centered as part of our Living Our Values program. And today, we're adding Spirit-led to the mix. I think we're going to have some great conversations about being Spirit-led. And I invite you to come and start that conversation right after the service in the boardroom, where we'll have a short discussion. The basic idea of being Spirit-led is that we should not just take our cues from our heads, but from our hearts and listen to what God calls us to do. This takes preparation and patience. Listening for the Spirit doesn't necessarily come to us naturally. We need to pray. We need to take part in other spiritual practices to still ourselves, to listen to the voice of God, however that may manifest itself. We also need to have patience to avoid giving up if we don't see immediate results. Sometimes, as Peter points out, we'll see little or no evidence of God's presence in the world. Prayers seemingly go unanswered. The good may not be lifted up. Evil may not be laid low. But if we keep preparing and keep waiting, the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, will surely come to us. That's what these four words mean. See, the Lord comes. So as we kick off the new year as Christians this Advent, let's allow the holy to break into the daily and practice being Spirit-led and having patience both with ourselves and with God. But before we do that, let's just spend another couple of minutes talking about Spirit-led and be clear about what we're talking about. When we say Spirit-led, we're talking about a Christian practice, not an innate quality in a person, something that someone may have or not have. It's tempting to think of so-and-so as being Spirit-led and another person perhaps not so much. And we can't know that. What's worse is we can often confuse and mistake the happy, bubbly kind of person as being the Spirit-led person, and someone who's more quiet and contemplative as perhaps not being Spirit-led. And that's a big mistake. Being Spirit-led is something that we practice, not who we are. It's not about being happy. We can be Spirit-led even in the toughest of times, the saddest of times, the most challenging of times. We can be led by the Spirit. Happiness is not a prerequisite. And this brings us back to a key distinction between Advent and our worldly Christmas. You see, despite Andy Williams' best intent, Christmas is not always and for everyone the most wonderful time of the year. Christmas is a major source of stress to many people. Studies have shown that Christmas is a time that leads to major fallings out among family, and the rate of separation of couples goes up. For people in need, Christmas can be a source of shame or embarrassment that they can't feed their families or put presents under the tree. Or for some, Christmas may simply be painful, as losses and memories of better times are all that is left. Or maybe Christmas is just a distraction, and some people can get in the Christmas spirit and others can't. But Advent, the true Advent that we've been discussing, can be an unconditional blessing. No matter where we find ourselves, Whatever our circumstances, whether we're feeling blessed or we're feeling unblessed, we can use Advent as a time of renewal. It doesn't matter where we start or where we end up. Remember, the Lord is patient with us, as Peter says. This is the season for kicking off a new year as a Christian, getting back to the fundamental belief about the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and asking ourselves, how do we become better disciples? So let's celebrate Christmas this year, but let's also celebrate Advent. Let's spend some time in renewal, committing ourselves to being prepared to receive the greatest gift of all. And however we're feeling in our lives right now, let's find some time to be still, to listen, to pray, and to strive to be Spirit-led. Come to Taizé, or perhaps just find a few minutes a day for quiet contemplation and simply being still and listening for the Spirit. And the next time we hear Andy Williams singing, "It's the Most Wonderful Time of the Year," let's smile to ourselves, knowing just how true this is. Because this is the wonderful time of the year that changes everything. See, the Lord comes. Amen.